This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
We have to start over.
No, I'm sure people are like, it's upsetting their ears.
We hate your talking.
That was like,
welcome to my favorite Minnesota murder podcast,
where the things are stuff and the stuff is things
every day in the best way you can for your family.
Always and forever. Amen.
Amen, Jesus.
Elvis just yawned at us. He's so bored with us.
Elvis is clearly an agnostic. Oh, and yeah. I respect him for that.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even not sure. He's like 100% sure.
He knows exactly how things are. That's the, it's the great, it's really kind of the pride of the agnostics is just absolutely being positive. Mm-hmm. That in this world of mystery, that anywhere, anything is possible. They absolutely know for a fact there's no such,
there's nothing is possible and there is no mystery.
Yep.
Go no fuck. Mystery. And also go fuck yourself.
And go fuck yourself. Meanwhile, did you know that they discovered a lake at the bottom of the ocean?
Is it the salt, like a salty lake?
I think so.
Where shit like dies in there and it's like a different consistency of the water?
It has, it actually like water laps up onto the sand and makes like, and like did you see that article?
Over.
Yes.
I don't know if it was that specific one, but like a couple months ago, I saw one that was like a salt lake at the bottom of the ocean. If like, and like there were all these like dead crabs and stuff at the like lip.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, doo doo doo, water is water. And then they'd fucking die.
And they're like, nope.
Nope.
Water's actually a bunch of salt in
water,
your crab
water
face.
Isn't water, you know what I mean?
Well, what's under there? Now, let's, if there's a lake at the bottom of the ocean, what's at the bottom of that lake? Next to the crab bodies.
Creatures.
Treasure?
Treasure and creatures.
There's a creature that holds a box of treasure.
What's it called when it's like trying to not let anyone near the treasure?
Hoarding? Is it hoarding?
It's hoarding, it's a but hoarder. It's also protecting.
Oh, sure. So it's like a dragon?
It's like a dragon.
At the bottom of the lake.
Dragon creature. Who is this?
This is the worst podcast we've ever done. Hands down.
Do you know that, did you see there's a whole conversation on the Facebook group of people being like, I thought, what did you think Elvis was when you first heard him? Because I guess in the very beginning, in the whole podcast, we've never been like, Elvis and Mimi are cats.
Oh, that's never been stated
it's
explicitly?
Never been stated. Because I'm like, yeah, those are my life.
Yes. You have called them babies before.
They're my babies. Yes. And like, so, and then he sounds like a goat.
Yes.
Or a baby crying.
Yes.
But not really a cat.
No, he actually is not that cat-like.
No, I feel like unless you, and a lot of people said this, like unless you have had a Siamese, you don't understand what that's what that was.
Yeah, because it is like when you say the magic question, I won't say, his answer does sound like words a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yes.
And he has, it's feeling of like, fuck yeah. Like what the fuck kind of stupid question is that?
Why haven't you asked me earlier?
Right.
Of all the questions you ask me.
And a parrot. Another one was a parrot. But I think the goat, I think that people are most right on with the goat idea.
Goat was a real thing,
goat.
People thought?
People thought we had like
a little billy goat in your
goat,
house.
Like their pets. Is it like, that's one thing that's like, if I actually had that and wasn't like, Elvis the goat, instead of like...
That'd be super weird.
Who would I? I'd be crazy.
You would be...
If we had a baby sitting next to us this whole time, like whenever we were podcasting.
And you're never necessarily like concerned about the baby until the end of your podcast. Yeah.
And someone was like, I just thought maybe they shook it to the end.
They're all lying.
I know. Hey, this is my favorite word of movie.
Hello.
Hey, hi.
Hey. Hi. That's Georgia Hardstark and her baby Elvis.
That's Karen Kilgariff and her goat.
And my goat.
Steven. What if this whole time everyone was like, I thought Steven was a person.
Oh my God. No, you idiot.
I guess we've never mentioned
goldfish.
It. Steven's a goldfish.
With a mustache.
Steven. Well, the goldfish's name is Mustache.
Oh, you know what? This, we're going straight into our animated series where you and I solve crimes with a goldfish with a mustache that we carry around in a goldfish bowl,
and it keeps like sloshing all over, which stresses me out.
We feed goldfish the cracker. That's our sponsor.
What if Steven was a crab and the barnacle was named Mustache? He had a barnacle, and he,
so that's two characters,
and he can't go in at Salt Lake at the bottom of it. He comes from the Salt Lake. Listen.
No, I'm hearing you, and I'm following up with, and then every episode we're one step closer to the Salt Lake, and Steven's like, we can't go that way. And we're like, what's wrong?
We have to go back. And we're like,
no,
you can't go back.
No, we can't. We need the treasure.
That got real weird.
This is, we're both on PCP. We should have mentioned that. This is the PCP episode.
I might be getting sick. It's possible. Apparently it's not cold, but I'm fucking freezing my ass off.
I walked into this apartment. It was hot, hot, hot.
Are you serious?
Georgia was laying on the couch. I'm sorry of my reaction. I got very triggered. Georgia was laying on the couch, in a house dress with the blanket up. And like it immediately, she looked sick, and that made me mad for some reason.
Why are we doing this?
I have a real, my family is so psychotic. If you are laying down or in pajamas past 8:30 a.m., everyone goes crazy.
Oh, they would fucking just hate me. That's my life.
It's so, but I thought I didn't have it because I slop around all day long, but like, I can't have you doing it.
You were like, it wasn't even like, why are we doing this, honey? Like, are you okay? It was, why are we doing this?
you had you know what bothered me was I was hot from walking because I walked from kind of down the street.
Oh, I would have given you a parking spot.
No. I don't have a car, remember?
Fuck, I forgot about that.
I was just walking. It was nice, actually, okay, to take a nice walk.
Cute,
but when I got in, the heater was blowing right near the front door. So I was like, it's like 80 degrees in here. And then I looked over and you looked like you were from a cold commercial where you're like, I'm freezing.
I'm stuffy and blinking at Emma, but
God damn it!
It sounded like we were like husband and wife and been married for 20 years. And we were like both so unhappy, and it's like at the end of a final fight, like, why are we doing this?
I'm sorry I escalated it so quickly. My father had melanoma. He had chemotherapy 3 times a week.
Oh my God.
And he still got up every day and put clothes on, even if he went back and just laid on the top
are
of
you
the blankets
serious?
He got up every day and put his clothes on.
That stresses me out.
That's where I'm coming from.
This
like,
is why I have
pajamas
house dresses
are an emergency,
but house dresses aren't pajamas, right?
Well, I need to make that clarification with you, and I need to just update myself.
I need you to know too that I have a really big issue with house clothes outside clothes in the house,
mm-hmm.
because you sit down in public places and like who knows who's been doing what on those seats.
Yes.
And then you come in, like the minute I come in my house, I walk to my closet and put on a house dress, but like cute, like this is cute,
it's very cute,
it's a
good
caftan
color. Sure,
it's a vintage caftan.
Yeah,
but I can't, so I wouldn't wear clothes. Okay, I'm not sick yet.
Okay, good. I can't have you be sick ever.
I don't feel sick. I'd breathe all over you if I was.
No, but I mean, it goes beyond. I know. I just didn't. It's something I'm going to have to take back to the therapist.
So you're a caretaker is what you're saying.
You have caretaker issues. I have sickness. You can't be flat on a couch while I'm around. I don't want to be around you if you're flat on a couch.
To me, that's like the ultimate of like, we're close. Is like the fact that I can lay on a couch with Steven here and you, and like my like happiest place is laying on a couch, tucking my feet under whoever is there. It's like my happy place. Like my feet tucked under you.
Sure.
Oh my God. It's so comforting to me.
That's so snuggly.
It's so cute and like warm, but you're just like, get up.
I feel like now that we've talked it through, I'm going to be better about
and we
it.
We have the opposite of things. So.
That's a lot of the time. a lot of time.
That's what this podcast is called, the opposite of things. Hey, this whole thing is supposed to be about your hometown murders.
And so because of that, we've talked for 15 minutes about my personal problems with when people look sick. Why are we doing this?
This is therapy. I mean, we both had therapy today. Actual fucking paid for.
Oh, yeah, I literally just came from therapy. That's probably why I was like ground all the way down.
Oh, and I came and I left for therapy this morning after we hung out.
Dude. All right.
Go.
Okay.
Hometowns. You guys email them to us?
Now let's do a hard left turn into murder.
We ignore them.
Okay, here's the first one Stephen Ray Morris picked out for us. Oh, I was going to read from the top of your email. Hey, hi, here's the hometowns for tonight. okay. This one, the subject line is, you'll never guess what my neighbor did.
Oh, no.
With six exclamation points after. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I love a good neighbor anything.
Sure.
Because you're stuck next to them.
Ooh.
Ready?
Yeah.
Dear Karen and Georgia, hello, my loves. Good start. My name is May.
Aw. Cute.
And I'm a newish listener to your incredible podcast. I've spent the last couple of weeks poring over everything you've posted and have commented and have recommended you to my lovely mother, who's the reason why I'm obsessed with true crime in the first place. She also thinks you're great. So this is really going well, this email.
Stephen knows. Just adding shit in that she never wrote any of that. Stephen knows us.
I think that they need a little boost at the top.
Yeah, they've been seeming sad lately.
Georgia's been sick and Karen's been enraged. Let me write something at the top that'll make them feel better. Okay. I was thinking I didn't have anything interesting to send you, but then I remembered the saga from my second year of university. We're dealing with a foreigner here.
Yep, we are.
I have no problem with you saying my name and the city, by the way, because people should be able to Google this dickhead. Okay.
Fun.
I was studying in a city in England called Canterbury.
I love when English things are called things.
Yes.
They're not like
named.
She's called Karen.
Yes.
They don't. Yeah, go on.
Called Canterbury, which was very quaint and lovely and also very boring. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I know because I read the Canterbury Tales freshman year and it was a serious snooze fest. Fucking a rooster telling everybody what to do. Okay.
Calm down.
We
rooster. Not you.
Easy rooster.
Easy.
Calm down because you love the Canterbury Tales so much. Okay. We lived in a pretty suburban area and on the same road as a graveyard, quote, in parentheses. This is important. Okay, one day my housemate burst in the front door crying and yelling about our neighbor, Dale, and it took us ages to calm her down. Mm. Dale was an older guy and was always very nice and never complained about us being loud student types. We weren't best friends with him or anything, but we knew him to say hello to. He always stood in the front garden, and we would always stop and do the standard nice weather exchange.
I just picture him standing in the garden.
It gave me like the chills of him just standing
in
the garden.
Not doing anything. He's dead.
In all caps. So it fucking turns out Dale had been arrested and was in all the papers for plotting to kill and eat a woman.
Oh, no.
He was on cannibal message boards.
What? There's cannibal message boards. I feel like we shouldn't tell everyone that.
Oh, but the cannibal cop, that's how the cannibal cop got caught.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they've been around. People know about the dark web. He was on cannibal message boards boasting about all these people he'd killed and eaten. There was a Chinese restaurant a few streets over from us, and he'd become obsessed with the woman who worked in there.
Oh, no.
He was telling people on all these sites that he was going to cut off her head and eat her. And when the police raided his house, they found, all caps, the axe he'd bought to do the job with.
Oh, God.
Thank fucking God the FBI were able to track him down. And so the police over here shut his shit down. Mm-hmm. He'd been saying online that he was stealing bodies from the graveyard. Yeah. So that all had to be investigated. But turns out he is probably lying about that. They also pretty much dug out his entire garden that we always stood in to chat with him.
Aye, aye, aye.
And the bottom floor of his house. But as far as I remember, they didn't actually find anything. But I mean, Just because they didn't find anything doesn't make it any less terrifying. They also took his computer and found child porn and loads of other horrific incriminating shit. So they were able to prosecute him. He was jailed in 2014 for 9 years, and hopefully he pops his clogs before he can get out because he's a dirty bastard.
His clogs, you dirty bastard.
Once again, love both you loads. Stay sexy, May.
How disgusting and creepy do you have to creep people out enough to call the cops on you on a fucking cannibal message board? Because you know that's who fucking told on him.
Yes.
Like, people are like, I'm on a cannibal message board because I like to talk about, oh God, this guy's a fucking creep. Like, that's what happened.
He's the creepiest of the cannibal message board.
Yeah, like, you're fucked up.
You're like, look, we're all here to talk about eating people, but we're not doing what you're doing, Dale.
But you're scaring us a little.
You're a dirty bastard, Dale. Yeah.
Dale. Okay. May, that was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, you nailed it, May.
Let's see. This one, there's a funny one. I mean, okay. I'm going to save that one. This one is called Unsolved Small Town Murder. Steven, it's almost like, you know, I love these. All right.
Steven got all shy.
Hi, late. Steven doesn't
Steven sound like doesn't Minnie Mouse. Do that.
Sorry, I wasn't.
Olive oil.
Steven isn't olive oil. Hi, ladies. I love your podcast. It really helps me get through my day at work. I was reading into that about my day at work. Though I'm pretty sure my coworkers think I'm insane. Yay. My favorite murder is also kind of my hometown murder. I don't get to talk about it ever, as it is a very sensitive topic that involves the murder of a 15-year-old girl. Ugh. I live in a small town in rural Alberta, Canada, and this crime took place in the neighboring town of Standard. Standard is quite small and close-knit. Current population is 303.
Whoa. I mean,
sorry, 353.
Jesus.
There's a vibe in there, but
I think
still.
That's how many people went to my high school. That's
like
crazy.
Total or?
Total, yeah. It was small. But I mean, we weren't a town.
No. That's a high school town. That's like if your town.
Could you imagine a town full of high school students?
No.
That's a nightmare.
No.
This is our new horror movie. Copyright, recording copyright. Don't try to steal this. But look, here's the. So we're on a bus, right? Yeah. We're in a van.
Yeah.
You're there too, Steven. Breaks down at the edge of town. We get out. We have to walk. We get in. Oh, everything's closed.
Yeah.
Because they're all drinking in the 7-Eleven parking lot. The whole town.
And Steven has to, like, communicate with them for us because he's closer in age to them and we don't understand their language.
I have no idea what's going
on. He's our translator because they're just talking in memes and fucking LOLs. What are they called? Steven.
Oh, man. I'm so here for this. I'll do my best.
Thank you. Just keep yelling Rihanna at the top of my lungs.
What's that?
Rihanna.
Oh.
You know, to try to relate.
And I just kept going, LOL, LOL, ha, 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 ha.
And then it turns out, we're the killers.
And then we murdered all of them.
Yeah.
Anywho, 353, the kind of place where everyone knows everyone and some people still don't lock their doors because they're fucking idiots. Something I know you'll take with an issue with. It's like you know me.
You're getting predictable.
I am getting predictable. On April 22nd, 1981, Kelly Cook, a 15-year-old resident of Standard, Alberta, received a phone call asking her to babysit that evening. I think I fucking know this one.
Oh, no.
A man calling gave his name as Bill Christensen, a very common last name in the area. Because they were all related? I don't know. Just saying. He arranged to pick her up that evening. She left the house at 8:30 p.m. and got into a full-size car. She was never seen alive again. Her mother knew something was wrong within the hour when Kelly did not call it a check-in as was normal. She started calling everyone she knew to ask if they'd seen Kelly. And when that failed, she called the police. At 10 p.m., a call was made to the operator from a payphone 15 miles. Oh, my God. He wrote 25 kilometers. And then he wrote 15 miles also because he clearly knows me. She clearly knows me.
Mm-hmm.
from Standard in another neighboring town. The operator said that all they heard was a young woman screaming before the call was disconnected. No. This was believed to be Kelly. Extensive searching in the days following proved fruitless. Her body was found 2 months later, about 155 miles south of Standard in a reservoir. She had been tied to cinder blocks and tossed in the lake. Mm-hmm. Her body was so decomposed that they could not determine an official cause of death. They believe the perpetrator was a local or lived in the area based on his knowledge of common names and geography of the area. The police believe that Kelly was not the original target. A couple months prior to this, another young woman had her picture run in the local paper. After that, a man called the Standard School District trying to get more information on this girl. The principal refused to tell him anything. He somehow got her information and called her that day, April 22nd, the same fucking day, to ask her to babysit, but she was already busy. She gave him Kelly's number, not knowing this would lead to her friend's death.
Holy...
She referred. Despite this case being so old, the police still get a couple tips every year, but so far no one has been caught. There are a few theories that paint this man as a traveling salesman or someone just passing through. He may have been traveling to the States, and that's why her body was found so far south. No other cases with similar MO have ever been reported in the area. This man would be in his 70s or 80s now. This case really sticks with me, and every time I hear possible new evidence, I get excited. I can't handle the suspense of an unsolved murder. Hope you ladies enjoyed my hometown murder. Stay sexy, Miranda.
That is amazing and so creepy.
So tragic.
Just that idea, it's so easy to wheedle information out of people.
For sure.
Horrifying.
For sure.
But then also it's that thing of like somebody getting a babysitting job. Like, I bet you, was her name Kelly, the girl that went missing?
Yeah.
The second girl, like the, not the referrer, but the
actual, the girl who was, Kelly was...
Like, I bet
Kelly was the girl who actually went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the girl that referred her, I bet she assumed that girl knew that guy.
Totally. Or was just like, yeah, right. Yes.
She was like, oh, if you're referring this to me, he must be your family friend of yours.
Yeah. But originally that girl must have been like, this is just a babysitting person.
Right.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
It's so sinister.
And I feel like even to this day, like, you know how paranoid I am. Like, I wouldn't be like... Yeah, this person who wants you to babysit's gonna pick you up and fucking kill you. Like, it's so easy and obvious.
Yeah.
That it's almost unfathomable.
Yes. Yeah, it's just crazy.
What a trick. Like, what a fucking diabolical trick.
Yeah. And also, last night I watched a thing on Henry Lee Lucas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the murders he confessed to were hoaxes and lies. Mm-hmm. But that idea that people, we've seen it in other cases, people driving around killing people randomly.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what makes them cold cases, is because there's no
connection.
Normal connection. Right. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's like, stick to a fucking MO, dude.
Make it easy.
Yeah. Can we please have a chance?
Okay. This one, the subject line is Fresno, worst place, best hometown murder. Hi, Karen, Georgia, and Steven. Thanks so much for your service.
It's like we're fucking service dogs or something.
Yeah, that's right. The Atlantic article about MFM was spot on, and I shared it with all the people I introduced to your podcast. Oh, thanks. You. I escaped Fresno for New York over a decade ago, but I will never forget the haunting story of the Wesson Massacre, which occurred shortly before I moved away. This is going to be good. Everyone knew Marcus Wesson, but odd... everyone knew Marcus Wesson was odd, but nobody knew the extent of the horror residing in his home.
Oh, no.
Oof. Wesson was the neighborhood weirdo with long gray dreadlocks, a house on the block with an unkempt yard and cars on blocks, and constant randoms coming and going at all hours. On March 12th, 2004, several members of Wesson's extended... I know what this is.
You do?
Yep. On March 12th, 2004, several members of Wesson's extended family confronted him demanding the release of their children.
What?
The police were summoned to what they thought was a child custody issue, but a standoff ensued. Police put his house under siege to little response. Guns were fired, and the police stormed the house, finding the bodies of 9 women and children in antique coffins.
What?
Wesson was arrested and the insane details quickly emerged. Wesson had multiple wives and children, most the product of incest. The complex family structure started with the marrying of his first wife in 1971, then, quote, marrying her 8-year-old daughter in 1974. Oh. Wesson went on to sexually abuse 2 of his daughters and 3 nieces, quote, marrying in-home ceremonies when they were around 7 to 9 years
oh
old.
Oh, my God.
Each of the 5 girls became impregnated as a result of the incest.
Ugh.
He homeschooled the children and taught them from his personally handwritten Bible that focused on Jesus Christ being a vampire. Editor's note, what the actual fuck? That's written in all caps.
I love it. Oh my God.
He told the children that he was God and had them refer to him as master or Lord. He taught the children to be prepared for Armageddon and that the girls were destined to become Wesson's future wives. So here's the kicker. Wesson was convicted of 9 counts of first degree murder despite not having pulled the trigger in any of the killings.
Shut up.
Yep. The wives went full Manson, shooting their children and committing suicide as Wesson had instructed them if their family was ever threatened. Wesson is on death row at San Quentin, and my sister, who lives and works nearby, has seen Wesson visit an eye doctor in her office park.
What?
Talk about making beds in a burning house. Guy who's going to be put to death.
Wait, that line was... Say it again.
Talk about... Because he's going to the eye doctor.
Yeah. No, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Talk about making beds in a burning house, guy who's going to be put to death.
How have I never heard that phrase?
Making beds in a burning house. It's kind of like on par with rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Right. I love it.
Not that you needed me to explain to you what it meant.
I get what it means and I love it.
She says he's still got the hair and is as terrifying as you'd imagine. Thanks for sharing this story. Hope you found it as bananas as I have. SSDGM Aaron.
How have I never heard that before? And listen, I fucking every week Google crazy fucked up crimes, crazy fucked up murders that I'm like, that's all I fucking do for the show.
This guy has been on a bunch of like Forensic Files, right, and all those things that we watch. He was this really big black guy with long gray dreads, uh-huh, that were like to the middle of his back. Mm-hmm. And he treated his family like a cult. So they traveled around. I remember seeing one where basically they were like in a van together for years. There was some, I want to say it was a 2020, but that might not be right, where they I might be confusing this with another. Oh, I hope I'm not. But
another cult?
But there was something where they interviewed a survivor.
Oh my God. Like,
but that could be wrong. I mean, so many people were murdered in this. It's so horrifying.
That's awful.
But it definitely was, if I'm thinking of the right one, basically they were kind of nomadic and he was a cult leader, essentially. Just, it was the cult of his family.
Mm. That's so sad.
It's so crazy.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Dive into Hulu's chilling new original series, Under the Bridge.
It's a riveting adaptation of the true crime novel written by acclaimed author Rebecca Godfrey.
Based on shocking real-life events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a 14-year-old girl whose plan to meet up with friends ends in her shocking murder.
When an unlikely group of suspects emerge, a novelist and a detective race to solve the sinister crime.
This spellbinding series goes deep into a hidden subculture, revealing a small town's darkest secrets. Starring Emmy nominee Riley Keough and Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Goodbye.
Well, are you ready for...
Our dad found the body and almost peed on it.
Oh, okay.
So a little light, something a little light.
Just something fun.
Something to end in lightly.
Okay.
Hi. My sister and I are loyal followers, longing for each new podcast. Thank you.
That's nice.
Here's our hometown murder. Our dad is a veteran policeman, now retired, in Pueblo, Colorado. In December 1999, our elderly great aunt called Dad, worried about her friend Lucille Pearson, missing after not returning home from a local shopping trip. We knew something was up because Dad was avoiding her questions. He usually spoke pretty freely. Wait. Dad was avoiding probably our questions. He usually spoke pretty freely. Lucille had been caring for a teenage grandson who had some issues, and no one felt it was a good situation. The grandson's friend agreed to help in the investigation, and this led police to some private property southwest of town. Dad volunteered to go up the hills to help with the search because he had 4-wheel drive. They spent a couple days, drained a little pond, and searched a campsite. They found a fire ring, some small pieces of scorched skull, but nothing they could test DNA for. Neely. As the sun was setting the last day, Dad broke off from the group to relieve himself before the long drive home. Just then, he looked down and saw a displaced rock where he was about to pee. It was Lucille's pelvis, and her heart was lodged inside.
What? Wait, what?
Exclamation mark.
Oh, did someone put it there?
I don't know. He almost peed on what was left of her body! Exclamation mark.
Horrifying.
Now they had the physical evidence to prosecute the grandson and his friend for murdering, dismembering, and burning the body of my aunt's friend. Recently, we learned Dad was the one to find her, and it was actually kind of funny how he shared in glorious detail how close he was to urinating on this poor woman. Sometimes you just gotta laugh. I didn't say that's she wrote that.
Yes.
SSDGM, Phoebe and Laurel. Your favorite murderinos.
Oh, well, we never talk about that, but that is the, like, it is pretty horrifying that cops, their jobs.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, our job is to, like, read these things and talk, be funny and say funny things to each other, whatever. Their jobs are to go and experience the worst that humanity has to offer repeatedly.
They need to find evidence that people are the worst fucking things in the goddamn fucking world. You gotta go out of your mind without humor.
Yeah. And you have to, like, and also just looking, like, they're looking for, they know they're looking for a dead body.
Totally.
They're walking around looking for the scariest thing you could find.
And if they don't find it, two monsters probably will just live the rest of their lives free. So, like,
and
that's
also
terrifying.
They'll get shat on. You know what I mean? Right. It's like there's...
So you gotta have...
You gotta like be able to tell some stuff at the dinner table.
Right.
Or you probably like drink yourself to death.
Totally.
Oh, man.
So go ahead, law enforcement.
Yes, you finally have our permission. The thing you've been waiting for all this time.
Be lighthearted and free.
Your family.
To make your family write us letters.
That's right.
I was going to say something else, probably really important, and I forgot.
Is it about how Steven's Purrcast is in the Oprah magazine?
Fucking yeah, it
Hi.
Is.
Hi.
Steven.
Hi.
You're Oprah's best friend.
I hope so.
If you haven't seen it, hopefully we've put it on all social media, but do you want to tell us about it?
Sure, yeah. My cat podcast, which a lot of people, I realize people comment and they're like, oh, I thought they were just joking.
I saw that too. We thought he was just, we were making fun of you or something. Having a cat
podcast. It's kind of a good slam.
But everybody...
It's good. It's called the Purrcast. I'm in an episode. Go listen to my episode. I talk about Elvis and Mimi for an hour and a half.
Yeah. We were... Oprah O Magazine reached out to us and asked us some questions. And we're there alongside some other pet podcasts and stuff. And we're just talking about cats.
It's
and
huge.
Yeah. I can't even like... I want to call Barnes & Noble and be like, do you have the...
Like, it's me, Steven, from the Purrcast.
Oh, Steven?
It's me, Steven, from Oprah Magazine.
Did you tell, like, your family and everyone
yet? Yeah.
Are they freaking out?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, this is a big deal.
It's huge.
It's a really big deal. I've subscribed on and off to O Magazine over
it's
the
great.
Years. The more, if I have money, I will right. get it. Because if it's not, for, like leg exercises I will never do.
Right.
At least they do have like, here's a cute sweater, here's a cute lipstick.
Or like positive articles about like,
amazing articles.
Yeah.
I love the cover because it's
Is Oprah having a great
year?
Time?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this one.
She's on the cover. She's wearing a big, like, summery dress in a field, and it says "Rise Above: How to Be a Force for Good in the World."
Aww.
I like that. I'm in the
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, it's
that,
not like that. How to be a monstrous person. That
how
issue.
To kick ass to people straight into their teeth. That's Steven.
Pepper spray people with Oprah.
Yeah.
Well, that's very fitting.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, I'm excited to see who finds it.
Yeah. What are some of your next steps for the Purrcast, Steven?
If people want to give us free stuff to sponsor.
What's your next step?
Yeah. Yeah. Just random free things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not even cat stuff. Just like
I have like some broken stuff. Patio chairs I can drop off to your house. How's that sound?
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to like, I just have fun talking to people about their pets. So
I love it because people don't really like, all I want to do is talk about Elvis and Mimi, but like, you can't really do that in polite society. So like you're giving people like me and I think most cat owners a chance to just talk about their cat's, eccentricities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfiltered.
Right.
Yeah. Just totally go for it.
Yeah.
Be a cat fan.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cool, you've had a lot of cool guests on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of good comedians and shit.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is because I used to have cats, but and
oh,
now,
really?
Yeah. You should be on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're both dead now, Steven. Oh. But we got one like, because she was old on purpose. So it's like we knew we were just kind of like somewhere nice for her to live before she kicked it. But I'm so, because I was raised on a farm, I'm so unromantic about animals that anytime people try to talk about anything, I'm always like, I don't know. It's a pain in the ass. Like,
if someone's like, my cat died, are you like, that's a, or like,
I mean, no, I get it because I understand that it's, oftentimes it's about more.
Yeah.
But also, I also understand that when you spend all your time with like a little thing that you have this an actual relationship mm-hmm. with, I mean, I can't even think about my dog's dying. But when, by the time, like when Rory died, she needed to die. She was probably like 15 years old and she was like on her way out.
I had a 20-year-old cat. Yeah.
Did you really?
Heck yeah.
My cat, Angus, when he died, he was like 16 or something.
I feel like when they're outdoor, like barn cats, they're like gonna live forever.
Yeah.
Is this boring anyone?
I mean,
I was gonna
are
say,
are we stealing your form?
format?
No, no. This is awesome. Well, no, because we do end up talking about a lot of like death. Like,
yeah.
You end up being like, oh, like, I mean, all like half of my cats growing up were eaten by coyotes. So yeah. It just becomes a thing that you just talk about. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. And a lot of times people, I think the best part about the podcast is when people feel comfortable sharing those stories. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's a big deal. It's like, it just made me think of the very first cat we had growing up named Cece, who just showed up at our back door and became our cat.
They're
and
the
was
best.
The cutest.
Cats are the best.
They're pretty great.
I love them. Dogs are great, but cats are fucking aliens. I'm pretty certain they're aliens.
They're out of their minds.
Except for Elvis right now.
Elvis is
mostly Elvis.
Elvis is
especially Elvis. Speaking of Elvis, hey, thanks for listening to My Favorite Murder
mini-sode. This was an especially long and rambling mini-sode.
Take out the mini and just have and just wear the sode.
But mostly stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Elvis, you know the word. You want a cookie? Good boy.
Bye.
Bye.